Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC. Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
In the 21 hours it's been since we last left you, boy, has a lot happened, huh? Which gives us a new fresh sheet of ice to mark up, to blade up, to get going on, to skate to a gold medal on, or something like that. 2 minutes after the hour, good to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. In that last 21 hours since we last left you, Andrew Wiley has re-signed on a new deal with the Washington Commanders. Brian Johnson said, "We don't need no stinking Commanders." We all thought it would be David Rye that was going to go join Cliff Kingsbury. Well, instead it was Brian Johnson, the now former assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator of the Washington Commanders, going out to join Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay in Los Angeles, where they will certainly be, you would think, if not the odds-on favorite by the time we get to week one, right there with the Seattle Seahawks. Adam Peters has spoken, as you heard live on Kevin Sheehan's show, in the noon hour. Not a lot of meat on the bone, quite honestly. And you had to really kind of like interpret what the questions were, because for whatever reason, even though I thought these things were supposed to be at a podium, if it was, and I didn't see the video, I just heard the audio, it was, I don't know why they don't pass around a mic at a podium where it's very simple to do that. You've got a lot of background noise. You've got, you know, teams do different things, but this is an NFL combine. This is an NFL run event. They should have a microphone just like we do for normal press conferences at Command Land in Ashburn and at FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium. Have a microphone. Have it be very simple for people to understand what the tone, the context of the question was. And away you go. I don't know why they didn't do it that way, why that wasn't set up. It made it very difficult and quite honestly hard to enjoy. I mean, I think I got enough out of it. I think if you were listening, you'll get kind of like probably what you expected out of it. I'm not saying that this is Adam Peters' fault. It obviously wasn't. I'm not saying that this is a Commander's issue. I don't think it was. I think this is an NFL issue. They have this whole setup, various different podiums and whatnot. You got to have a microphone for people to ask questions so that people understand the context of the answers. And You're not guessing. And you're not just trying to figure it out. Maybe not a big deal to you, but I would think it is important to you to hear the question so that, you know, when we're talking about how he answered it or what he said, you know the context. But maybe it's not that big of a deal to you. But Adam Peters spoke within the last hour. Dan Quinn is going to speak in less than 2 hours. We will attempt to carry that live. I presume it'll be the same setup, but I can only do what I can do. So we are expecting to hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders in about 2 hours, live from Indianapolis. Coming up in about 25 minutes from Indianapolis, Benjamin Robinson, who runs Grinding the Mocks. It's a website, Substack, on the NFL draft, and obviously what mock drafts are kind of saying and reporting and whatnot. We will have him with us at 1:30 or so from Indianapolis. So let's start with all that we have, again, just told you about, in case you've been sleeping under a rock over the last 24 hours. I wanted to start with Brian Johnson leaving after 2 years. And listen, when you combine Cliff Kingsbury out, the offensive line coach Bobby Johnson out, Brian Johnson, the now former offensive pass game coordinator and assistant head coach out, and Tavita Pritchard out, along with some of the defensive staff changes, and they lost a few there and let go of a few, including Ryan Kerrigan, Sharif Floyd, Jason Simmons is gone. I think he wound up in Pittsburgh. Obviously, Joe Witt Jr. wound up in Pittsburgh as well. I mean, they've had, I don't know, 8, 9 different coaching staff changes. For a staff that is not completely new, i.e. Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh or John Harbaugh with the Giants, that's kind of, I don't know, that seems pretty high. That seems like a lot of coaching turnover. There's some stability, i.e. David Blau, but on defense, for the most part, the only stability that you have is Ken Norton, the linebackers coach, who's staying, and Daryl Tapp, the defensive line coach, who, title-wise, accepted a demotion from head defensive line coach to assistant defensive line coach because Durante Jones wanted to bring in his own people, which, understandable. Does that worry you? You guys who put never-ending emphasis on coaches, does that worry you? We already knew about 2 coordinator changes. We've talked about that. I think, like most people, can have reasonable views on that and say, hey, man, excited about the changes, breath of fresh air, a little bit worried that neither one has called plays at the NFL level, and David Blau was in a uniform 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. Again, reasonable stuff. But they promoted from within the new offensive line coach, Darnell Stapleton. They kept, again, for now, David Wright, tight ends coach, who, again, a lot of people were thinking would follow Cliff wherever he went. Now, I've heard some different things on that. I don't know exactly what's true. Maybe the Commanders denied permission. Who knows? But it is a lot of turnover on the coaching staff. Along with, if you think about it, right, what, they have 30 free agents? Now they've re-signed Wiley. They've re-signed Tressway. So what are they down to, 28 free agents? You could have, I don't know, 20 new players. That's a lot of turnover in one offseason when you're not changing the head coach or the general manager or both. That was totally normal 2 years ago when Adam Peters walks in and then has to hire Dan Quinn, who then has to hire a staff, and they're changing scheme, they're changing philosophy, they're changing everything. That's normal. In a situation where you're not changing the head coach or the general manager, and 1 year removed from the NFC Championship game, I don't want to say it's alarming, but to say that it's not mildly concerning, if not more, I think would be a mistake. Because when you combine, again, 8 or 9 new coaches and 2 first-time, at this level, coordinators, and let's just call it, I don't know, 20 different new players and new schemes and new philosophies, that's a lot of work to get done in the next couple of months. That's a lot of work that has to gel to hit the ground running in week one. And we already found out that Dan Quinn does not really like to grind his guys in camp or in the preseason. Which brings me to this point. Things better be different this August. I mean, who am I? Nobody. But I said it to anyone and everyone who would listen, and anyone and everyone who would listen back with me and talk back with me. And the players themselves would admit that DQ really takes care of them. Everyone thought camp last year was soft or on the easy side. And then we saw what happened or didn't happen in the preseason. And you kind of wonder why Jaden was off from week one. And then we have the popular narrative that Terry only got hurt because he skipped most of camp. Like, he didn't practice 4.5 weeks and play in 2.5 games before getting injured. Weird, right? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but again, popular narrative. The point being is, this August better be bleeping different. Because if you wait until week one in September to really crank it up, to really get serious, to really get intense, to go from playing 4 plays in a game to 60 plus, guess what's going to happen, boys and girls? You're going to struggle again. And while, yes, they did beat the New York Giants, I think we know the reason for that, and nobody should have been impressed. Nobody should have been impressed. And they got smacked in the face by the Packers 4.5 days later. Again, expected. But it was way worse than you thought. And yes, you beat the Raiders. And the Raiders were god-awful. And then you went and you got kicked in the onions by the Atlanta Falcons. And they weren't a playoff team. And then you bounce back and you beat the Chargers, who, fortunately, you caught with some significant offensive line injuries and took advantage of it. Again, everybody takes advantage of different situations. And then the real struggles start, right? So maybe we can't connect the dots between preseason and, well, the real season unraveling starting week 6. But I know this, even in wins, they didn't look sharp. They didn't look good. They didn't. They didn't look like a well-oiled machine. And when you're talking about 4 or 5 new coaches on the offensive side and 3 or 4 new coaches on the defensive side and 2 first-time coordinators, that's a lot of change, along with maybe 20 new players. That's a lot of change to absorb and to get on the same page as. Now, some of you are going to think that I'm being negative to be negative. That's not true. That's just the reality of the situation. They will poo-poo it. They will tell you it's not a big deal. They will tell you it's nothing to really see. It's a big deal. And especially being that you guys expect coaching to be the end-all be-all. It's a big deal. All right, so coming up, Benjamin Robinson grinding the mocks from Indianapolis just past 1:30. Dan Quinn, the head coach, going to speak to reporters at around 3 o'clock from Indy on the Team 980. Plus, you'll hear some from Adam Peters. And we'll get your reaction to everything going on in the wide world of the Commanders and the NFL next on the Team 980. Stay with us.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC. Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Put a timeline on JP, but it is really important for us, you know, and we've been having talks, and we've been having good and productive talks with Laramie and his team, and, you know, we're as motivated as ever to get that done, but I don't want to put a timeline on it. Obviously, I don't think either side wants to drag it on, but I don't think the league year is anything that's going to be a deadline of sorts.
All right, that was Adam Peters from last hour at the Combine, I believe, to JP Finley. And talking about Laramie Tunsil, and this has been an issue that many Commanders fans, pundits, and analysts have just expected snap of a finger to get done. Oh, they can't do what they did to Terry last year. Oh, you can't allow that to happen. Guys, we're talking about $30+ million a year. For a 30-plus-year-old who had a good season, a very good season, on a 5-12 team, who doesn't quite honestly have the best, the best overall work ethic. I mean, he's really talented, and he's very good. But the notion that this should be like a walk in the park, done, like dinner, I don't get that. I never have. Never have. Laramie Tunsil, again, is 32 years old. Now, you can play left tackle 36, 37, 38 at a high level. Trent Williams, Andrew Whitworth, I mean, just to name a few. But your body obviously breaks down at different points, right? And maybe that would happen anyway. It's a physical position. Here's the thing that you have to remember on a guy like Laramie Tunsil. Again, he's 32. Not 30, he's 32. On top of that, again, this upcoming year, his final year under contract, he's due a base of nearly $21 million, a prorated signing bonus of $3.6 million, a per-game roster bonus of $250K, a workout bonus of $150K. His cap number, according to OverTheCap.com, is $24,905,882, which doesn't seem like an absurd amount for a player of his quality at a position of the need, right? But here's the thing. If Laramie Tunsil is going to want his last contract, he got, it was fully guaranteed 50. The contract value, I guess, was 75, like overall. And you would think Laramie Tunsil is going to want 4 years. Maybe a four-year extension on top of the upcoming year is too rich. I would say it is. So maybe it's 3 years. I don't know. But you would think that he's going to want a minimum of $25 million per year, probably more on average, $30 million per year. So if it's like a three-year deal, it would be like somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years, $90 million, with probably about $70 million in essential guarantees and full guarantees, somewhere in that range. Then you have this other thing that has to be counted, that has to be factored in. Did you know that next year, whether Laramie Tunsil is with the Commanders or not, and everybody presumes he'll be here, that there's a $10.8 million dead cap charge, a void year charge, that the Commanders are stuck paying. Now, remember what happened with the Deebo Samuel situation. They lowered Deebo Samuel's cap number last year from like 17.5 to a little over 5. They saved about 12 and change last year. But now they've got to pay that 12 and change under this year's cap, which people have pointed out. No big deal, they had to pay it anyway. True, they did. But I'd rather it have been on last year's cap when they sucked as opposed to this year's cap when they might need every last damn dollar that they can get, even though the cap has gone up, to rebuild their roster, and actually get some real talent and properly surround and support Jaden Daniels and two fresh coordinators and Dan Quinn. And, oh, by the way, a tough division, a tougher conference than it has been. Right? So next year, not this upcoming year, meaning 2027. Whether Laramie Tunsil is with the Commanders or not, they're going to owe $10.8 million for Laramie Tunsil under their cap. Now, if he is with them under an extension, guess what? The $10.8 million on next year's cap gets added to whatever next year's figure is. So they'll have to keep it low, meaning the 2027 cap figure, in order to absorb that nearly $11 million hit, combine the two, say it's, I don't know, $25 million. Okay. I mean, you could probably work with that, but if it's a three-year, $90 million contract, in order to keep the cap number lowish in 2027, because of the dead money charge that they absorbed, then they're going to have balloonish figures in 2028 and 2029, which is going to become problematic. I know a lot of you don't want to hear this. I know a lot of you, my buddy Grant Paulson, who I dearly love, he thinks you can do whatever you want with the salary cap, that it doesn't matter, that you can manipulate it and twist it and bend it any way you want. Ask how that's worked for the Dallas Cowboys. Ask how that's worked for the New Orleans Saints. Ask how that's worked, for the Minnesota Vikings. They always seem to be in cap hell. You know how that works? Dead money. Restructured contracts. Pushing off what you can pay today until tomorrow. Eventually, the bill comes due. It might get you a break today if you push it off tomorrow. The problem is, you're going to have to pay it at some point. And yes, while the cap seems to continuously go up every year by $24, $25 million, like it will this year, to somewhere between $302 and $305, sure. Guess what also goes up? Contracts. The cost of doing business. The cost of players. All right, coming up next, from Indianapolis, joined by Benjamin Robinson, grinding the mocks. We'll get his latest on who he's looking for as the combine kicks into full gear right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, trending alert time. And yes, indeed, the Commanders are in the midst of a day two at the combine, meeting with players. Of course, Adam Peters speaking to the media earlier today. Dan Quinn will come up at about 3 o'clock. Falcons general manager Ian Cunningham says Kirk Cousins is expected to be released on March 11th to avoid a roster bonus. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens are targeting, or said to be targeting, contract extensions for Lamar Jackson and a new deal with outstanding center Tyler Linderbaum. Meanwhile, the Raiders' new GM, one-year GM, John Spytek, says he expects Max Crosby to stay despite all of the trade rumors. How about them apples? Tonight, the Wizards open up the post-All-Star road schedule against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta, 28-31. No Trae Young. He might make his return in person, but he's not going to play against his former team. And the U.S. Women's Olympic hockey team has said no thanks to the president's invitation, if you could call it that, to appear here in the nation's capital at the State of the Union later on tonight. And that's what's trending.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC. Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. with personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking. It's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio. Tune in. Scouting Combine underway in Indianapolis. Again, we heard from Adam Peters last hour. We were just talking about Laramie Tunsil, all the things going on with the Commanders. Dan Quinn later on. Joining us now is Benjamin Robinson, who's in Indianapolis, who runs Grinding the Box on Substack. And I didn't know this, Ben. I apologize. I didn't do my research. I didn't realize you were a Silver Spring, Maryland native. How are you?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I've lived in D.C. now for the last 10 years, and I just moved to Silver Spring recently. But yeah, I've been in D.C. for about 10-plus years, originally from Cincinnati, but the DMV is home.
Okay, so not a native, but lived here for the last decade or so. You know, this city sometimes is rude to outsiders. They don't like us, you know. they don't like us if you don't kiss their ass and have burgundy and gold pom-poms. First of all, thanks for doing this. So you're in Indianapolis right now, correct?
Yep, correct. Yeah. Yep.
So what would you say is the buzz? I mean, a lot of obviously player interviews going on. I know all the players are not there yet, but the teams are there and clearly holding press conferences. Would you say this is pretty uneventful so far, or what would be, I guess, your big picture early takeaway to some of the things being said and done?
It's definitely a calm before the storm sort of vibe right now. Yeah, a lot of talking. Some teams aren't even here, but for the teams that are here, they're doing their media responsibilities and getting prepared for the drills later this week, meeting with agents, vendors, things like that. So it's very much kind of business as usual.
Benjamin Robinson from Grinding the Box, available on Substack. Make sure you subscribe and check out what he is working on. And that's what I wanted to ask you, because, I mean, obviously looking at some of your content and you know, it's a different way of using analytics and analysis, but how would you sell your content? How would you describe what you're trying to accomplish? Is it simply just kind of showing visuals to where guys are projected in mock drafts? Is that the general concept that you're trying to push forward?
Yeah, I'm trying to push forward a more informed conversation around the draft using data as a lens. And so, you know, I think, you know, it's the same type of conversation we have in politics around elections, but focused on something that I think is much more important, which is the NFL draft. And so, you know, the idea is that there's a collective intelligence out there.
I'm sorry.
And if we, I know, right? Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cackle. That just made me laugh, because a lot of people would agree with you, and then a lot of people would say you're nuts.
Hey, you know, when more people tune into the Super Bowl than the presidential debate, I'm just leaving it at that. That's, but either way, it's actually kind of a more complicated problem in a lot of ways. But we're bringing some of those same tools of, you know, trying to upweight voices that are more important. You know, there's a lot of voices who have a lot of sway who don't actually know what they're talking about. But if we kind of are able to find some of that signal in the noise, we can get a better sense of what's going on and just be more informed about the draft. But to me, it's also about telling stories. You know, those charts are there to talk about the journeys that these players have taken as prospects. You know, and so to me, I find it just really exciting. This time of year is when people are starting to learn more about these guys and their stories and, mm-hmm. and what they bring to the table and what they could bring to their, you know, to their favorite team.
And one example that you kind of cite that I don't want to say came out of nowhere was Nick Amanuori of the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, right? And his rise, if you will, last year where he got on people's radar and jumped, and he certainly became a story, as you said, and a riser, and then it paid and came to fruition in winning a Super Bowl, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, last year post-combine, he was one of my, you know, top three biggest risers in my data. But one of the things that I think is like less surprising about that is coming into the combine, we knew that he was a super athlete. Mm-hmm. And so to me, one of the things that was really exciting was, you know, more people got to know who he is. But, you know, he ended up kind of eventually kind of falling. People kind of were like, well, he has this, you know, great athleticism. And I think they kind of undervalued a lot of his traits. Now I think the league is more appropriately valuing some of those traits that he has around the athleticism, the ability to cover in the run and be, you know, really, really not a liability in coverage and really be kind of one of the backbone pieces of that championship defense. You know, the player that I think more of who was emblematic of that was last year was Armand Membu, the offensive right. tackle from Missouri, who was coming into the conscious. And then, you know, he had that kind of primal yell when he was doing his 40 and you just kind of knew this guy was different. And he ended up being, you know, one of the bigger risers, you know, across the entire season and, you know, probably could have been in conversation for being rookie of the year if he played a sexier position.
Well, or if he didn't play with such a horse crap franchise in the New York Jets, that also.
No comment.
one of the big risers, if you will, and it's not like per se in the last couple of months, like a big rise, because everybody knows of David Bailey, the edge from Texas Tech, but certainly for our audience here, you know the Commanders need lots of help at that. You have him sixth post declaration deadline, fourth pre-combine here, but I was looking at some of the data and the chart that you had, and am I interpreting this right with the visuals that you have, again, on Grinding the Mocks, available on Substack for subscription and for, you know, for people to get, you know, via email and subscription. Am I reading this right that basically in June of 2025, meaning last summer, he was mostly thought of as a, what, mid-second roundish pick,
yeah.
and now he's yeah. going definitely in the top 10, and he could go in the top 5.
Yeah, that's correct. It's very rare for these days for some people to come completely out of nowhere, like pretty rare. So I think less rare than it was due to the impact of the transfer portal, but David Bailey was a known entity when he was at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took the big bag at Texas Tech, him and then also his colleague Lee Hunter, the defensive tackle, who's another really interesting prospect. But, you know, he had a really impressive season, and so people knew about him coming into the season. He was definitely, you know, probably would have been in my top 50 preseason prospects. But to go from there and then to solidifying himself as potentially the first edge in the draft is, you know, a huge achievement. So he just put a really great season on tape, and Texas Tech had a great season on top of that as well. So, but yeah, I expect him to be in the conversation for, you know, potentially a top 5 pick now.
Now, if you had to choose between, I mean, and we're just talking about edge guys, him and Reuben Bain, would you say Bailey clearly because he's the best pure pass rusher, but Bain, obviously, I know there's concerns about the shorter arms, but he's also, I mean, at least from everything that I've seen, a hell of an edge setter and a pretty darn good, fierce run stopper with his hands and being able to get off of blocks and shed blocks and hold up at the point of attack. How would you evaluate those two head-to-head entering the combine? You know,
So I think, you know, Bain has that more of that kind of power to him that I think really a lot of effective edges can. And so the question is, you know, do you think that Bailey can develop into that? Because Bailey has more of the like speed, pure, can get around. You know, he moves like a basketball player at times, you know. Yeah, really good prospect. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I probably would prefer Bain myself, but I think Bailey's probably going to go higher.
What about the short arms deal? Because to me, it didn't look like it affected him in college, but we all know, even though some offensive tackles in college, like the ones that he would go against in practice, are 6'5", 6'6", 330, not every offensive tackle is a behemoth and going to have the gazelle-like athleticism that he's probably going to deal with a bunch of left tackles in the NFL. Is the arm thing going to be a major problem in your eyes? Is he going to be a situation where they got to kick him inside and sort of a NASCAR-ish package and kick him down into like maybe a three technique spot? How do you kind of see that moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's a good conversation. Yeah, I think that that's why some people have like very different opinions about Bane, where if you view him as more of like a guy who goes outside and then also goes inside, mm-hmm. does that minimize his value? I don't think so. You know, some of the most effective pressure you can get in the NFL is from interior. So to me, I don't think it impacts his value at all. You know, he had no problem facing any of the kind of pro prospect tackles that he faced in college football. In the ACC, maybe not as much, but, you know, if you look at his playoff run, really great against A&M, you know, really, really good against Ohio State. So, yeah, no, Tim and Akeem Mezador both had, you know, excellent seasons. And, you know, Bane is on the younger side, and so you can kind of also project that he'll continue to grow mm-hmm. and grow in his talents.
Yeah, because
he's been so good even with some of those quote-unquote deficiencies.
Right. No, I didn't mean to jump in on you, but Mezador, who you mentioned there, he's almost 25, right? Or is he 25 already? Or something like that,
yeah.
right?
Just,
you know, which is going to be somewhat problematic for his stock. Before we get into a couple of the other Senior Bowl risers and guys that you highlighted, again, Grinding the Mocks, Substack available. Benjamin Robinson is our guest live from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine right here on the Team 980. He lives in Silver Spring, so he's around the area. The Commanders have also been connected with, again, different people, different things, of course, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese. I mean, anybody that moves and has a pulse on defense. If it's not a pure edge rusher, say, again, the two guys that we were talking about, Bailey or Bane, right? If it's not one of those two guys, and who knows who's going to be available and when, which of those guys that I mentioned, would you think would fit in what they're now trying to do here in Washington with Durante Jones, presumably Brian Flores-esque type defensive scheme?
Yeah. So I think Caleb Downs will be in the conversation. Yeah, he's definitely in one of like my top ranked, you know, in terms of pairings between teams and prospects coming into this draft. You know, I think he's somebody that they'll give a lot of consideration to. I personally think that the edge rushers are better prospects for what they're needing right now. I don't think they're like a safety away from being a much better defense. If I had to pick another edge rusher, I would definitely focus on Auburn's Kendrick Faulk. And so he's somebody that I think that they might want to look into. He's kind of definitely on the younger side, mm-hmm. Had a much better sophomore season than he did a junior season, but, you know, a heck of a prospect in his own right. You know, last year, Adam Peters was very secretive. You know, last year, about 40% of the mock drafts were saying edge, and offensive tackle wasn't even listed
yep.
in the top five
yep.
of the most mock positions in my database.
Yep.
And so coming into the season, if I had to think of, you know, a position that's not being talked about a lot that could come into play for them, it's wide receiver. Being where they are in that part in the draft could give them access to some of the best prospects at wide receiver in this draft, like a Carnell Tate from Ohio State, if he falls a little bit, you know, if the medicals are good on Jordan Tyson, like last year, they were being connected a little bit with Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State,
yep.
who ended up going a lot earlier than people thought to Tampa Bay, had a really awesome rookie season. So to me, a wide receiver could be a position that is a little bit of a dark horse if I had to think of something beyond the kind of Downs best player available or defensive lineman. And I really do hope they stay away from Jeremiah Love. I think they have a backfield that can do what they need, especially with what Jaden brings in the run game.
All right, so here's what's interesting. I mean, who doesn't love Jeremiah Love, right? And you just mentioned him. I think you could use that, like, in lieu of the Oregon quarterback Dante Moore not coming out, lieu of, like, not having top-shelf quarterbacks to get teams to trade up, I think you might be able to use Jeremiah Love as not a quarterback, but as a quasi, like, chip piece to move back potentially to either, I don't know, 8 with New Orleans, who might be cutting Kamara, to 9 with Kansas City, who might be looking to get a little fresh look on their offense with Eric Bieniemy back, a running backs coach. Something like that. Do you see that is a more realistic scenario, say, for the Commanders than them actually taking him, because it sounds like you're not a big fan of them taking him in the seventh spot.
Yeah, I'm not. I think if they could get someone to trade up with them to take Jeremiah Love, that'd be, you know, definitely a huge coup given the positional value around running back. I just think that that's context of where they are in their team build. A running back is not going to make as big of a difference as a wide receiver or an edge rusher. And so to me, I was saying edge rusher last year, you know, offensive tackle, I think Connor Lee, you know, is still growing into, you know, as a pro. So I think that's still, you know, jury is out. I think he could still get better. It's good to have tackle depth, especially with who they were trotting out at tackle, you know, last year in the playoffs and getting exposed at times. But yeah, to me, wide receiver could be kind of a dark horse position where I think it really does help raise the floor of the team to have somebody beyond Terry McLaurin who can make big plays. And so to me, like, if Carnell Tate is available and I'm looking at Carnell Tate or Jordan Love, it'd be Carnell Tate, you know, all day, every day.
Well, you mean Jordan Tyson.
Comparing, yeah,
right. Yeah. And the reason why you're anti-Tyson, and I think you're absolutely correct, is not on the field enough. I mean, they... Like, here's the thing. We saw it hurt them literally, figuratively, in every way when they lost Terry McLaurin. But you combine Terry McLaurin with Debo getting banged up week five, week six, with Noah Brown constantly injured, and they didn't have anybody that could move and run routes and catch the ball for Jaden. And Jaden wasn't his best either. I'll admit that. But to me, it would seem really odd if you spent, say, the 7 overall pick on a guy like Jordan Tyson, or even if you traded back a little bit and spent, I don't know, a top 12 pick on Jordan Tyson, a guy who's already got big-time injury concerns, as you note, again, on Grinding the Mocks.
Yeah, he's been a faller. You know, I think, you know, he was definitely one of the top receiver prospects coming into the season. And I think the hope was that he would build on top of a really impressive campaign. But, you know, I think this week the teams are going to get a chance to look at, you know, his medicals. And I think that will speak. There'll be a lot that to make of that. I think it's really unfortunate because I think he's extremely talented. I think without the medical issue, he's definitely in, you know, along with Tate, competing to be the first wide receiver taken. If I had to stack them right now, you know, to me, Carnell Tate's up there, but Mekhi Lemon is kind of on his heels. And so that'd be another player that could be of interest, but I think that he's more like in the outside the top 10 than Tate, who's more inside the top 10 right now.
One other wide receiver, and then I'll let you go after this. I appreciate your time. Brennan Thompson, who you like out of Mississippi State. Tell me why and how do you see him fitting in? I know you like him kind of like in the mid to later rounds, and that's probably where he should go. Is he a pure slot guy? Is he an outside guy?
Yeah, so, you know, Brennan Thompson, wide receiver from Mississippi State. You know, I wrote about him in that piece talking about, you know, players who might rise after the combine a little bit. Just to do a little preview, just so people see what we see before the combine. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about. You know, if we know a player is fast, like Nick Amonwori, we know he's athletic. When he tests athletic, we shouldn't double count that. And so that's why I wanted to talk about Thompson. We already know Thompson's fast. That's his calling card. He's definitely a smaller guy. You know, I think he could be add some value as a special teams player, but that's not a player that you should be drafting until day 3 of the draft at the earliest. And so that's why I wanted to highlight that. He's definitely a fun player. You know, everyone loves guys who can, you know, get the ball and move after the catch. But, yeah, he's kind of small. And so, to me, he's definitely rising. I think people are expecting and looking at him more now because they know about this, like, big athleticism that he has and his speed. And so I expect him to, you know, potentially run in the 4.2s. But you still have to be a football player. And I think I take some of the pre-combine data that I have on him, and I use that as a kind of prior to think about, you know, did we know that he was that athletic beforehand? If the answer is yes, like I said, don't double count that. Don't give him more credit than he deserves for something that he brings to the table. It's more about players who you don't know that they have that quality, and then you find something new that you might want to reinvestigate and actually potentially reassess your eval with that type of new lens on. Yeah.
You can follow more from Ben on Twitter, X, at BenJ_Robinson and at Grinding Mocks, as well the Substack and everything in between, all the socials. Great to have you. Appreciate you making some time for us. Enjoy Indianapolis. Hope you're going to get a chance to get a little St. Elmo's. I mean, I hear the shrimp cocktail.
I did last night.
Oh, did you? Did the shrimp?
I did.
Did you get the shrimp cocktail?
I did not get the shrimp cocktail because I'm Jewish. I don't eat shrimp, but I did get the horseradish sauce with some crackers.
Okay.
And it blew my mind. But what blew my mind more was the service. The service there is excellent. Some of the best service I've ever had. Wow. Amazing place.
So you had the hot horseradish shrimp cocktail sauce on crackers.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they said, I was like, yeah, I don't eat shrimp. And they accommodated. Like I said, you know, great service. I had an excellent server. They have people who've been, you know, servers there for 40 years or 20 plus years. It's amazing.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'm glad at least you were able to kind of be flexible, right? We need more flexible people in society. Certainly the Commanders need more flexible players, period. Appreciate you. Let's do this again when you get back, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
awesome.
It. Have a great
That's,
one.
That's Ben Robinson with us, Grinding the Box, Silver Spring area resident, and looking at the NFL draft from the Combine in Indianapolis. We'll have a couple of our friends from Sumer Sports on over the next couple of days, and we will talk draft with you and free agency with you and contracts with you on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com. Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC. Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.